Nahum 1:7. You know the verse? I want to speak to you for a few moments on the subject that God is good. I want to tell you folks this morning, God's good.
Amen.
Heart attack, deaths, sickness, cancer, God's good. Got your bills paid for school? God's good. God's really good, right? But if you don't, God's still good. He's good all the time. We used to say it in our church, didn't we? God is good. And all the time, we believe that, don't we? You know why I believe that? Because the Bible says so. I said to a man the other night that visited our discipleship class at Tabernacle Baptist in Hickory. He was a lost fellow. And he needed the Lord, but he was very perceptive. But he said, I'm a seeker. Well, I knew what that meant. He was considering his options. So I told him, I said, you know, Andrew, I said, I believe this Bible from cover to cover. I believe every word in it. But it only takes one verse to get you saved. Just one verse. Just one verse. We had a missionary come to our church years ago, and he put one of the slides then up on the screen. He said, you see that verse? It was something like, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, you see that verse? God saved me with that verse. I thought that was good. God saved me. Just that one verse, God saved him. Well, the Lord is good, isn't he? Pastors often stand at the back and greet people on the way out. Like my grandson Ryan says all the time, shake the preacher's hand, shake the preacher's hand. But we stand at the back and we greet visitors and we talk to members and things like that. And Ryan always would say, shake the preacher's hand, shake the preacher's hand. But here this preacher was at the back shaking people's hands and he greeted an elderly saint. And he said to her, isn't God good? And she said, he can't help it. He just can't help it. That's who God is. Amen. Well, I want you to look at Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, where it says this very thing. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord's good. Take your Bibles now and turn to Acts 27, to a day of trouble. Acts 27, verse 20. And here we find the Apostle Paul, Luke, Aristarchus, and a bunch of other folks, 276 total, in a violent storm called Euroclydon. And it says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and by the way, back then in ships, they used the sun and stars to navigate, right? That was very important that they see the sun and the stars. But they didn't appear for many days, and no small tempest lay on us. All hope. Look at that. All hope. Tell where you are this morning. All the hope is gone. I just don't know where I'm going to turn. I don't know who's going to help me. All the hope's gone. That we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among us. Look at this. But of the ship. This ship's going down. But if you'll stay on this ship, you'll not lose your life. That was a promise from God. That was a good promise, wasn't it? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. God is good. Strange thought for such stormy text. This whole chapter deals with people in a storm, by the way. We sometimes find ourselves there, don't we? In storms. Someone said the way you outline the book of Job is by trouble. You're either out of trouble, you're going into trouble, or you're back out of trouble. You know? But we find here they're in a storm. The whole chapter deals with this. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. God is so good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help me today. And please help us to listen well. Help me to preach my very best for your glory and honor. And do a work in our lives as we consider the fact of how good you've been to us. We're very thankful for all you've done, what you're doing, what you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some months ago, Dr. Cruz, you've probably had him here, haven't you? From Matthews?
Tim Cruz
came to preach for us at Tabernacle Baptist in Hickory. And his son, Andrew, is our song leader. And Andrew's a great guy. I don't know much about his past, but I know he's a great guy right now. He loves the Lord. And I remember Andrew singing with his mom. And they sang a song entitled, God Has Been Good in My Life. It didn't just state the fact that God's been good, but it said God's been good in my life. I thought that makes it personal, Doc. That's not only to be able to say God's good, but he's been good to me. Can you say amen to that this morning? God's been good to you? And as he stood beside his mom and sang, he started crying. I've never seen him do that before. And she looked over at him like, what in the world is wrong with you? And I think Andrew was thinking about how good God had been to him. And it was amazing that he was singing that song with his mom. God has been good in my life. I don't know what he was thinking. I didn't ask him. I was going to church last night. My wife got sick. I didn't get to go. I was going to ask him last night. But I think that's what he was thinking. But God's been good in my life. You know, when you consider Acts 27, a Roman centurion is really in charge. His name is Julius. Do you see it there in verse 1? Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. The master and owner of the ship, they were in the picture. Paul was being transported as a prisoner. Alongside was Luke. How do you know Luke was there? It says we in verse 27, right? And when it was determined that we, that has to be Luke, right? So we, so it was Luke, Aristarchus, and the Apostle Paul, saved people. Other prisoners were on board ship. They were perhaps headed to their deaths. We don't know. I mean, I don't know how what all they had done, but that was pretty bad, evidently. But they were being transported as prisoners and maybe to their deaths. Counsel from the Lord was given to Paul that it'd be best if they didn't leave the fair havens. The centurion didn't take his advice. Rather, he said, you know, I think I'm going to trust the owner of the ship, master of the ship. They probably know more about travel on the seas than this guy, the preacher, does. And the soft winds blew, south winds blew softly. The south winds blew. Well, they started out and said, man, was this guy ever wrong? Was this guy ever wrong? I mean, he thought we were going to have a tough time, and boy, it's a great time. Look at this. The south winds are blowing so softly. But just ahead, they would meet up with a northeasterner, a very violent typhoon by the name of Euroclydon. And then they'd change their tune and said, maybe, just maybe this guy knows what he's talking about anyway, you know? They did everything in their power to stay alive in that long and very damaging storm. By the way, this morning, you may get help from your parents. You may get help from this, that, or another. But do everything you can in the storms that you're in. Do what you can. Like the folks over at Surgery Center said, we do our best, God does the rest. Do your best and let God do the rest.
Amen.
Right? They did everything in their power. The Bible tells us they let her drive. I know what the woke people would say about that. They'd say, surely that can't be talking about a woman. It's got to be talking about a boat. They used helps. The next day they lightened the ship, on and on. They did everything they could. They did everything they could. And yet they came to the place, in verse 20 it says, that all hope that they would be saved was taken away. They lost all hope. At some point they just said, we give up. Threw their hands up and they said, we're done for. We're going down. All hope that we should be saved shall be taken away. Well, the Lord wasn't finished, was he? And the Bible says that God spoke to the heart of the Apostle Paul and assured them and him that their lives would be spared. He said, all you need to do is just stay in the boat. This boat's going to be destroyed, but just stay in the boat all the way. And if you'll stay in the boat all the way, your life will be spared. Well, they didn't listen to him to start with, but now they're ready. They didn't pay attention to him beforehand, but now they're listening, right? You know, they had mistreated God's man. He was a prisoner, wrongly accused. The centurion, the master, and the owner of the ship, they showed no interest whatsoever in God. They didn't pray about things. They didn't ask God's help. Nothing. They had rejected God's counsel that God's men gave them to stay in the fair havens, thinking they were doing the right thing. And on board were many guilty prisoners. And honestly, they would soon probably die, many of them anyway. And God would save society a lot of money if he just used this storm to get them out of the picture. Right? Euroclodon could have been used to correct a lot of wrongs. Many of these folks didn't deserve any better. They deserved death. I thought about this text, Dr. Comfort. I identify with these people on the ship. Not with Paul, not with Luke, not with Aristarchus, but with these prisoners. They were headed to their deaths. They deserved to die. They were guilty as charged. That's me. I'm on the road to hell. I deserve to die. I deserve the wrath of God. But the Lord is good.
Amen.
Amen. And I heard Dr. Fred Brown preach years ago. I reminded Dr. Comfort that I remember him being in the happy corner at our church, Highland Park Baptist, Dr. Robertson, where I went to school, Tennessee Temple, years ago. And as he would prepare to preach, I'd watch him flip through his cards to memorize scripture. I've never forgotten that. Dr. Fred Brown came to preach, and people would often make fun of him because he'd hitch his britches. Every time he would say something, he'd reach down and go like that. And he'd go like that. He'd bring his britches up, you know. I went to hear him down in Albany, Georgia. Down there, they said Albany. Right? How many of y'all from Albany, Georgia? Albany, Georgia. That's the way I say it. I heard him preach, and he said, let me tell you, he said, the road that's the straight and narrow road that leads to life is right in the middle of the road that leads to death where many are on, but it's going the opposite direction. I said, boy, that's amazing. I said, that's amazing. And certainly, that's where I am. Thank God I'm headed into a Christless eternity to die. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul and turned my life around and put me on the straight and narrow path. Amen?
Amen.
So I identify with this. God had other plans. And God was good to everybody on this ship. He was good to Paul. He was good to Luke. He was good to Aristarchus. And I really believe, I mean, I'm not so ignorant to not believe that God didn't notice that they were on board that ship and spared their lives. And in addition, he considered the others as well. Certainly, that's true. But, you know, the Apostle Paul didn't deserve to live, and Aristarchus didn't deserve to live, and Luke didn't deserve to live. And yet God spared their lives. Paul and his friends were caught in a poor decision-making process, yet God spared their lives. The centurion and the master and the owner of the ship did not deserve God's mercy, but they got it. The prisoners were probably deserving of death, but they got life. Most had turned their backs on God, but he had never turned his back on them. Not one soul was lost on the journey of their life, that is. And that was miraculous. You see, why did that happen? Because God is good. So stubborn, so willful. But God was good to every one of them. He stood by them. He helped them through a very difficult time. I'm glad God is good this morning, aren't you? Don't forget it. Our God is good. And our God is a gracious God. Some folks let one little thing happen in their life and they shake their fist at God and say, why'd you do this? Why are you doing this? But you know something? I live on God's earth. I walk on his ground. I breathe his air. I enjoy his creation. North Carolina's part of it. I've been saved through the blood of his son. It's all about him. Amen. God is good. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 100, would you, for just a moment? This is a verse or verses that talk about the goodness of God. Psalm 100. The Lord is good. The Bible talks about this in verse number 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. There the goodness of God is linked to his mercy and his truth. In Psalm 103, look at verse 2. The Bible talks about God's benefits. Verse 3, his forgiveness. Verse 3, his power to heal. Verse 4, his protection. You say, well, the doctor in the hospital did this and this and this. I want to tell you something. If you got up from a sick bed, God got you up from that sick bed. I don't care who helped you. His health. Verse 4, his protection, his loving kindness, his mercy. Verse 5, his provision. See it? Talks about the benefits of the Lord. It's a big thing when you go to a new company, get a new job. What benefit package do you have? I tell you, we got a pretty good benefit package with the Lord, don't we? And so, when you think about the goodness of God, it's linked to God's mercy, God's truth, God's benefits, God's forgiveness, God's health to us, God's protection, God's loving kindness, his mercy, his provision, and he is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Imagine that. He is a stronghold. So he helps us with our burdens. He provides us with his strength. He comforts our families. He speaks to our hearts. He forgives all of our sins. He's merciful in our failures. He directs us in hard times. God's good.
Amen.
Amen. God's good. The song is right that says God is good. Just recently, I complained about the high cost of a meal in a restaurant. You ever do that? But you know what? I should have been thankful that I was able to eat in that restaurant because God's good. I complain about, and you complain about sometimes, the high cost of everything. The high cost of gasoline, for example. $2.50, $2.60, $2.75, $2.80, $2.90. And I've never gotten over the fact that they say $2.99.9. We say we buy gas for $2.99. Really, it's $3. Let's get over that. Amen. But $3.50, $3.75, gas gets down under $2, we say, under $3, we say, man, this is a deal. But I remember Buddy Smith in Australia where he says, Gasoline over here costs about $10 a gallon. I said, you know, God's good to let me be in the United States. I thank the Lord that he provides. Groceries used to be about $100, $125. Now, you make a grocery list to Walmart, $250, $260, $275, $300. That's just me and my wife. Can't imagine what it'd be with some of you guys around. The way y'all eat. Wall Street goes down, 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 but one day we're going to go up, up, up. Amen. The undertaker may get me, but the uppertaker is going to have the last hand on my body. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you this. If we passed a plate this morning of some kind, went through every person in this auditorium, and we put every ounce of our goodness in it, which the Bible says there's none that doeth good. No, not one. So if we passed the plate or the hat, whatever you got, and we took up all the goodness that we could muster up between all of us and brought it up on the platform, there would not be anything in that plate. There would not be enough in that plate to save one lost sinner of our goodness, because there's none that does good. But if we passed the plate and attempted to gather up the goodness of God, the plates couldn't hold it. You'd bring it up on the platform and say, got any more plates? We've got more room. We've got more of God's goodness. And there'd be enough in those plates to save every lost sinner in the world. Jesus Christ. Amen. God's good. Don't ever forget it. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says you got cancer. Maybe so, but you still face the fact that God's good, right? You got heart problems. You got financial troubles. Someone died in the family. Someone precious is sick in the family, but God is good. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is good. A long time ago, a little boy who was a second grader. How old would that person be? Six, seven? How much would he weigh, Brother Hanky?
Depends on how much
he eats. Yeah, regular size. Just 40, 50 pounds? Sorry about that. But he was just a little tiny guy. He'd go to school with his dad every day. Get out of the car every day and go to his school. High school's on one side and grade school's on the other. He went around the flagpole. And so he got out of his car and he walked out in front of his car. And a lady in a lane that she shouldn't have been in didn't see the little boy and hit him and ran over him. And ran over him with a front tire and stopped the back tire on him. And then panicked and ran. And the little boy's dad had to get up out of the car that he was driving, where he brought the little boy to school in, and come and pull the car off of his son. And he did so. He took the little boy home. And he told the little boy's mom, he said, our son has been run over with a car on the schoolhouse hill. Get in the car, we're going to take him to the hospital. Now, he didn't call the EMTs or anything. He just said, get in the car, we're going to take him to the hospital. And they did. He stayed there, the little boy did about 5 days. By and large, that little boy was completely unhurt, uninjured. But they kept him in the hospital about 5-6 days, about a week. And he got out of there unhurt, unharmed. Years later, he was in his hometown at an age of about, 30 maybe. And he went to change the title on a car. And the lady said, what is your name? And the little boy that was not a little boy then and not the same little boy, the same young boy that he was, he said, my name is David McClellan. And When I said that to the lady, Dr. Beale, she started crying. She said, "You're Dave McClellan." I said, "I am." She said, "I'm the lady that hit you on the schoolhouse hill. And I'm glad that you're alive. And I'm glad that you've grown up to be a young man." And she started weeping and crying. You know, if God had taken my life with that car, Dr. Comfort, that'd have been okay. But somehow or another, he spared me. My mom kept the blue jeans that I was wearing to school that had the tire prints on the back of my legs. She kept those forever. I don't know why. It was not something that was a good memory. But it had tire prints on the back of my pants. So, you know, if God had taken my life then, he's still good. But you know, the Lord had other plans. He let me grow up. He let me get married. He let me have kids. He let me get in the ministry, preach and see people saved, and do some things that I would have never gotten to do had God not spared my life. You know what? The Lord is good. Amen. I think Andrew Cruz had it right that day when he sang with his mom and he cried. God has been good in my life. And I want to stand here before you today at the opening message of this Bible conference 2023 and say to each of you students and staff and faculty, God has been good in my life. And I hope that you recognize that God has been good in your life. Amen. The lady was right when she went out the church door. The pastor said, "Isn't God good?" And she said, "He just can't help it." That's the way it is. We serve a great God, and he's good. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the time we have here together. Thank you, Lord, for this great text. Thank you for the privilege of preaching. Thank you for the many, many things that you've done in our lives. Some of them have been very difficult, no doubt, for all of us. But we're glad that through it all, we understand in the Bible that you are a good and gracious God. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.